What honor and a privilege it is for me to be with you today. I want to thank you for your opportunity of sharing your time with me. You normally have a good speaker at this time, and today you got me. So we're going to do the best that we can. It's good to see Brother Ralph. Hadn't been a long time since I've seen him. He used to live in Ellijay, Georgia, where my father-in-law and mother-in-law used to live or lived. And my mother-in-law has passed on, but again, it's great to see him and remake the acquaintance and talk about some times. Good times that we have known together during that time. And last, the leaders. Our goal is to build godly leaders. You know, around home, if you get ready to do something, most of us have a toolbox. And in that toolbox, we have things that we need to take care of the things around home. Growing up, my dad was a carpenter by trade, and my dad had three toolboxes. He had one on his truck. It had a lock on it, and my brother and I was not allowed to touch that toolbox. Because he knew what was in it, he needed to make a living, and if we touched it, it might not be in that box the next day when he needed it. So unless he was there and told us to touch it, we didn't. He had a second toolbox. It was called the boys' box. That was mine and my brother. So if he sent us to do something, we went and got what was in that box. Because it was some old stuff that if it didn't make it back, it wasn't a loss, like it was in his toolbox on his truck. Then he had a third one. In his spare time, he loved to build picture frames. Well, he had a little miter box, and he had a saw, and he had all his little drill bits and things that he needed in making his picture frames. And he had some little braces that once he cut the angles and he would glue them together, he'd put it on there and hold them together. And then he'd drill a hole in it and put nails in it. You know, but he knew that if we got a hold of that stuff, number one, it probably wouldn't ever work again. But number two, he wouldn't find it. But he had the right tools in those boxes for the job that he needed to do. He had the right tools for the right job. And I want to suggest to you today, brethren, it's time we took the right tool that we've been given, the Bible, because that's the right tool that we need for the job that we're trying to accomplish in raising our families, being a faithful Christian, and training our kids to be that same faithful Christian that we want to be. It's vitally important. In 1968, there was a young man by the name of Randy Rowan. This young gentleman right here won the speech competition for FFA in the state of Georgia. Pretty big feat, Georgia's farming state. The elders went to him and said, "Randy, we didn't know you had the ability. We'd love for you to take time and speak to one of our Bible classes." He said, "I'd love to do that. Let me get my Bible and take it to my ag teacher so he can teach me how to present a lesson from God's Word." "Randy, why are you wanting to take your Bible to a non-Christian to help you learn to preach and to teach?" He said, "It's very simple. He's the only person that's ever taken an interest in me." Wow. The elders got together with their preacher at that time, Brother Jack Zorn, who is also in this picture back here, and said, "We've asked one of our young men to speak," and he said, "We don't care. It's time we started teaching our young men how to study, how to prepare, and present a Bible lesson from God's Word." So they started. And the first Sunday of January 1969, these eight young men stood before what is now Quarter Road Church of Christ in Warner Robins, Georgia, and presented Bible lessons. The people there were so impressed by what they had to say, they started inviting them to their civic organizations to speak, and people started listening to what they had to say and were impressed. At that time, the governor of the state, Jimmy Carter, had heard about these, quote, Church of Christ boys, as he called them, and what they were accomplishing. So he invited Randy to the governor's mansion to speak for him. He was so impressed by his ability, he invited him to speak to what he had once a quarter called the governor's prayer breakfast. They were so impressed by what they heard, Randy spoke to the opening session of the legislature in 1969 in the state of Georgia, where that young man quoted the Sermon on the Mount. And from that point in time, these eight young men started traveling across the Southeast, preaching and teaching and showing our brethren, "If you'll take a little bit of time with me, this is what we can accomplish." In 1991, Brother Neil Anderson dedicated an issue to the Gospel Advocate to last leaders, where he asked two questions. Who's going to fill their shoes? And if you look at the picture, there's a young lady standing in her mother's shoes. Young man standing in their father's shoes. The second question was, who's going to be your elders, deacons, preachers, and Sunday school teachers? Two pretty important questions. Brethren, have you ever stopped to think about, Brian wasn't here today, who's going to speak? If you didn't have any of the people here, the men and the ones that make decisions to make those decisions, who's going to do it? Have you ever thought about if you didn't have your Bible school teachers, who's going to do it? You know, in the local church, for me, that's the hardest job, teaching a Bible class. Because if you start teaching today, you can't quit till you die because nobody else won't take your place. And you know I'm telling the truth. But why? I want to suggest to you today, brethren, we haven't trained our folks to be able to want that. To have the desire to be an elder. The desire to be deacons and carry out the work of the church. The desire to be Bible class teachers. It's something that we have to train from the time we're small. My daughter, my oldest daughter, is a math teacher. I don't know where she got that smart, but anyway, she is. She went through high school. She went through college. And I'm listening to her talk about what she studied. And I flash back to when I was a kid and my grandmother, when I started school, she said, Michael, you need to learn. You're going to study reading, writing, and arithmetic all of your school career. And grandmama was pretty old. And I said, Grandma, you don't know what you're talking about. They may have done that when you was in school, but I know things have advanced since I'm going to school. They still study reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's called different subjects. Well, she's done that now for 16 years. Then she went on to get her master's degree. For the next 2.5 years, guess what she studied? Reading, writing, and arithmetic. Now she's wanting to go get her doctorate degree. Another 3 years. Guess what her class schedule is going to be? Reading, writing, and arithmetic. Why is that? Brethren, you don't learn it all in one time. Is it any different in the Bible today? Do we start off in Revelation and try to teach our kids that in the cradle roll class? No. We start off and we teach them the stories of the Bible, the things that make the Bible what it is, and we start teaching them from the time they're young until we get our age and we're continuing to learn something new every day. And it's vital that we take that time to teach those things so that they too will know whose shoes they're going to fill. That when they get older, who's going to be elders, deacons, preachers, and Sunday school teachers? Vitally important. If you turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles, chapters 33 and 34, there's a story there that you're all very familiar with. There was a young man there that became king. Does anybody remember his name? Josiah. Josiah became king at the ripe old age of 8 years old. At 8 years old, he began to face decisions, brethren, that you and I will never face in a lifetime. He had some good people surrounding him, but as he got older, what did the people that he was leading start asking? Where are you taking us? In what direction are we going? And in 34 of 2 Chronicles, verse 2, he answers them. He did right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of his father David, and he did not turn to the right or to the left. Has the theme of the Bible changed any today? Or has our goal in the church changed any today? No, we want to take God's word and we want to follow it to what it says. Not to turn to the right or to the left. But in our society today, brethren, that word gets skewed because people don't want you to know what all it says and they teach their version. So it's vitally important for us as Christians today to teach the truth so that our kids will know exactly what God said. So God, they will know exactly what God expects of us. Because in our society today, brethren, whether it's right or wrong, we're known by the friends that we keep. If you've got kids that are in school, high school age, and you drive by that high school and people see them standing with people that are known drug addicts or alcoholic, what is your kid? People think they're the same because that's who they're hanging out with. If you and I are down at the local barbershop and we're out and people don't know us very well and they see us hanging out with that same group of people, who do they think we are? Exactly the same. While it may not be the right thing on this earth, it's what happens. So it's vitally important that we keep the friends and teach our kids the type people that we ought to be and that we ought to associate with. It's vitally important. Last of Leaders is not a kid program, it's a family program. There's things in Last of Leaders for our families to do, our adults to do, as well as our kids to do. Because, brethren, if we build a strong family, what are we going to build? strong church. But it starts at home. If we don't have a strong family, we're not going to have a strong church, because our family's not going to stick together and they're not going to be here. They're not going to be here. Since the inception of Last of Leaders, which this year is the year number 50, 295,000 people have participated. But back to the slide before. There was a study done in 10 states over seven states in 10 years that show that if you get your kids to come to church after they go through high school and they graduate college, 38 out of 100 are faithful to the Lord's church. Only 38%. Now, same study shows that if your kids came to church and got active in some form, 54 out of 100 stay faithful to the Lord's church. In that same study, for the kids we've had involved in Last of Leaders during that same time, 85% or 85 out of 100 are faithful to the Lord's church. Brother Chuck Webster over at Hoover, Alabama, has been doing his own study for the last 20 years. At the Hoover Church of Christ in Hoover, Alabama, outside of Birmingham, 92% of their kids that go through Last Leader stay faithful to the Lord's church after college graduation. I don't know. That's a pretty good number. But brethren, is Last Leader's a magic pill? No. And I'm not here telling you that. But why are the numbers what they are? It's very, very simple. Proverbs 22. If you bring up a child in the way that he should go, when he get old, he won't depart. And if we do our job as a family and as a church, and we train them in the right way, they're going to stay faithful. When they see us caring about them as they get older, what do they want to do? Share what they have learned with somebody else. They want to give back something that they've learned. They want to give back what has been given to them. We've got a lady in Montgomery, Sister Banny Burt, where my kids grew up going to church. Sister Burt's 98 or 9 this year. Everybody loved going to Sister Burt's Bible class. And they wanted to go early because she would have things set up so that it was great for a learning environment. She was a retired first grade teacher. And they'd be in church 20 minutes early because if they didn't get to church 20 minutes early, they couldn't finish what Sister Burt had for them to do in Bible class. And their old mom and daddy, let's go, we got to go. Sister Burt's got stuff ready if we don't hurry up. We're not going to finish. I saw Sister Burt last year. And at 97, she said, you know, Mike, y'all got this thing called Teach to Teach, where I would be able to teach Bible class teachers. I said, yes, ma'am. How long does it last? I said, 3 years. She said, oh, I think the good Lord's going to let me live 3 more years. I need to get involved in that Teach to Teach. She started a resource room at University Church in a shoebox. And that's the largest room, other than the fellowship hall and the auditorium, that they have, where she reuses and recreates materials. And she brings some of the younger women in their 70s in to teach them how to make a resource room. They do that every Tuesday. But it's one of those things where she shares with others. And she believes in teaching with others. Because again, brethren, if we don't wrap our arms around them today, they won't be here tomorrow. We won't have that opportunity. But you know, if we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible tells us there that if you and I do what we're supposed to do, what will God give us? He'll give us the increase. He will give us what we work for. The key goes back to the first part of that verse when it says we ought to have to do what we're supposed to do. If we're willing to do what we are supposed to do, then it will happen. A few years ago, we had the theme of one of our conventions, let's go teach and baptize. What is the theme of the Bible, basically? We need to go and we need to teach others and we need to baptize them into Christ. And if you turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3 and verse in chapter 4, there's another story there that you're all familiar with. God told Moses to do what? He said, go talk to Pharaoh. What did he say? In verse 10, basically, he said, man, I can't do that. I'm not qualified. I'm not eloquent of speech. I'm slow of speech and tongue. In verse 11, excuse me, he asked him a very important question. Who made man's mouth? because he knew who created his mouth and he knew what his capabilities were. But if you see in verse 14, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Why? Because he told him he couldn't do it. And God knew that he was capable. God's fair. What did he do? He said, your brother Aaron's coming. He's a great public speaker. I'm going to be your mouthpiece and you're going to tell him what to do. That worked great for a while. But what happened? Oh, Aaron couldn't do it all. Moses had to step up to the plate and start taking his share of the load. Brethren, one of us can't do the work in Sanford. It takes us all to do that. From the smallest to the oldest, it takes us all. And lastly, leaders, and we have 38 different opportunities for participation. We have convention events, the things that you do when you participate in convention. Then we have what we call year-round events. There are four different types of events. There's Bible, service, leadership, and curriculum. Let's talk about them a little bit. Year-round events, there are 27 of those. Year-round events are things you do at home. If you come to convention and participate, there's 11. Which ones are most important? Things you do at home. Because if you build a strong family, you build a strong church. Now, out of the 11 things you do at convention, most of them are things you do at home. Because you get to practice. And I'm going to stop and get on a soapbox for just a minute. If, for me as a father, what convention meant was when I took my kids, that they saw there was other people living like they are. When we lived in the North Georgia mountains, there were three Christians in the high school where my kids went. My two that were there then, and one more. 980 some odd people. Was it important for me for them to go to Last of Leaders and see that there were other Christians living like they are? Absolutely. Because they didn't see that example in the county where they lived. There just wasn't that many Christians. Okay, so it was vitally important for me. Number two, when you participate in convention, dad or granddad, if you've got a daughter or granddaughter that is participating in an event and you want to see it, buy a video camera. Get somebody to video it because you're not going to be allowed in the room. We understand it's not a worship service. But when you train up a child in the way that he should go, let me ask you a question. If your daughter goes down to town here and speaks at one of the civic clubs and gives a Bible lesson and there's men present, what's any different than her coming and doing it right here? Isn't the Word of God, no matter where you use it? So therefore, when you go to convention and they're bringing the lesson from God's Word, dad and granddad and aunt and uncle or uncles, you won't be allowed to go in that room. You can go in and watch your sons or your grandsons or your nephews and whatever you want to do. You will be allowed to do that. But those are things that we feel like that are vital to our training of our kids, knowing the right way and what God says and how to do it. We have events like Read the Word, where you would read the Old Testament or the New Testament or both in a year. You can do that as a family. You can do that as an individual. You can do that as a class. You can do it however you want to. Rossville Church of Christ in Rossville, Georgia, is doing it as a church. Mike, a buddy of mine that goes to church over there, says if you read 13 chapters a day, you'll read the Bible in 3 months. They've divided it up. So in 3 months period of time, they're reading the Bible together as a church. He said, now Mike, you know I deliver heavy equipment. Some days I can't read 13 chapters. That means the next day I got to catch up. And I said, no, that's when you download one of them apps on your phone. It reads to you while you're driving. Because you drive a lot of miles, just like I do. You know, and you can listen and you can participate in that. During the day, he said, Horn, I never thought about that. I said, well, think about it. You know, it's something you can do. 13 chapters a day, but you don't have to do it in 3 months. But you can devise the opportunity of how you want to participate in that. Know the books, or you know the books of the Bible. You know, if you pass by some of your classes on Sundays or Wednesdays, what do you hear? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts. They're singing the songs. And they can sing that. The youngest participant we've had in this was 2 years old. Little girl sang the New Testament. She tried to sing the Old Testament, but her mama said her little tongue just wouldn't roll some of them words off. And I said, honey, don't feel bad. Mine won't either. But she sang it. At 3 years old, she did them both. So it's you figure out how you want to do that and you use it. And that can be something that you can do as an adult. You can do it as a kid. You have to think about how you want to do it. Year-round Bible reading, how is that different from read the Word? Very much. In year-round Bible reading, it used to be that we had a bronze level, a silver level, and a gold level. And you had to do the bronze first, and it had so much private reading you did, and you had to do so much public reading. Silver was an advanced version of that. Then gold had some of both. 4 years ago, I think it was now, we changed that. And now you choose what level of participation that you want to get involved in. So abrkids.net is a Bible game that Apologetics Press created. So parents have been telling us for years that if you will get your Bible lessons so that our kids can study them on a telephone or an iPad or a, what's that music thing? iPod. They'll be the smartest Bible students in the world. Well, they're pretty much right. Since that time, we have had five times as many people participate in gold year-round Bible reading. Because in this Bible game, the goal is for you to score 600 points in a year. And where we need you guys as parents is where you would log on to abrkids.net and sign up as a teacher. Then your kiddos here at church can sign up under you, and you can develop a study together. You can let them choose how they want to do that. You can start in Genesis. You can start in Matthew. You can start in Revelation, wherever you want to start. But let's just say, for example, you decided to start in Matthew. You read Matthew chapter 1. At the end of that chapter, there's some questions that they can study. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe three. If they answer them all three correctly, and there's three, how many points do they get? Three. So therefore, their goal is to score 600 points. Now, where do you come in? They get over to Matthew chapter 4 and they miss all five questions that was into that chapter. Well, you as a teacher have the ability to go in and erase all those answers. They can take it again and learn more. But it also gives us as a teacher the ability to sit down with them and see what they missed in Matthew chapter 4. To spend time with our young folks and see where they are, so that they can learn that together. We had a young lady that was working for us first summer we looked at this, and excellent Bible student. So our boss, Roy, got her to play this Bible game for 8 solid hours. And I knew, well, she's going to score 600 points. I mean, this chick's smart, you know. In 8 hours, she scored 23 points. Is the real goal to score 600 points? No. But if I tell my kids they can't do that in a year, you bet what they're going to do. They're going to score 600 points. But will you ever take away the Bible knowledge that they get in that year that they're studying this? No. But they're going to do it because they can study it on their phone, or they can study it on the computer, they can study it on the pad, they can do it however they want to do it and enjoy it. My son was sitting on his bed, had these earbud things in his ears, listening to music. I don't know why he had them in. I could hear it as good as he could. But studying abrkids.net. That's okay. But they can listen to music, do something else, and read that and comprehend it. I have to sit down and threaten anybody that makes a peep or cut the phone off and put it somewhere else so that I can study and comprehend. But the kids can do that. abrkids.net. Also, Centurion of Scripture, where you're willing to learn 100 passages of Scripture in a year. And you can do this at 10 at a time, 50 at a time, 100 at a time. Now, we need mentors that are willing to listen to kids that are willing to learn these verses. And what's really cool is when you as a mentor are willing to say 10 verses back to these kids. Therefore, you and them both complete Centurion of Scripture. Now, you may have a situation like I ran up on over in Lexington, Kentucky. Walked in a church building to see a friend of mine, and on a wall similar to this one in the foyer, it was in the foyer of the church, but it was a big old wall, was about 25 or 30 McDonald's French fry boxes on the wall. I knew immediately Brian had been there. I mean, that was just Brian, okay? I accuse him that his elevator don't go all the way to the top sometimes. But I found him. I said, Brian, All right, McDonald French fry boxes. He said, Mike, I'm glad you asked. He said, we've got 25 or so kindergartners through sixth grade who want to participate in Centurion of Scripture. So I came up with a plan, and I knew that was coming. I mean, that was just Brian, okay? I said, all right, why don't you lay that on me? What did you do? He said, well, I went down to the local McDonald's and told them that I was wanting to use their French fry boxes to help people learn Bible verses. And they said, oh, here, take all you want. So I went and got some brown construction paper out of our resource room, and I drew French fries off on this paper, and then I put verses on each sheet. And so we told them that if they learned 10 verses, me and Mr. Mike, the youth minister and the minister, would take them to McDonald's for a Happy Meal. Whoever said 10. Now they could come in on Sunday morning and get one, and when they said it to Mr. Mike or to me, they'd get another one. And each time they said one, they got another verse. And I said, how'd that work out for you? He said, well, the first couple of weeks was slow. We took a couple of people to McDonald's. Okay. He said, but now we take the church van and two cars. Because his French fry boxes just had French fries everywhere in them. They were just everywhere. But he said, they come in on Sunday morning, they get a verse. They say it Sunday night before worship. They get another one and say it Wednesday night. Pick up another verse on Wednesday night and say it Sunday. I said, I'd do it for a Happy Meal. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But it was a way to get his little kids motivated. And if you need them to say it one at a time for them to do it and get it right, that's the way we need to do it. We need to adapt and overcome and make it possible for all that want to participate to do that. Brian had the idea of the McDonald's French fry boxes in a Happy Meal, and that's great. So if that works, that is for you. It may be that. And you'll find them in the corner studying together. You'll find them working together for things that really matter. Because in our society today, they're taught what gets rewarded gets repeated. Now, how many of your kids or grandkids came home from school this past week and said something like, Mom and Dad, should I start a 401k plan today? Or maybe, is Social Security going to be here when I get to be 65? We was talking about that in the third grade today. No. My son came down from Decatur, Alabama yesterday to see his mama. And what did he do? After he hugged her, he about ripped the refrigerator door off, wanting to know what his mama had to eat. He did that when he was in school. You know, Hinton, I'm afraid, is like me. He likes to eat. He's grown a little bit, Ralph, since you've seen him. He's pretty big. But you don't expect kids to come home from school asking questions like that. They come home from school and say, can I go over and play basketball with a neighbor? Can I watch my favorite TV show before I do my homework? Or can I have a snack? They don't ask crazy questions about 401k plans and other things because they're taught in school that if you do well, we're going to reward you. 1 Corinthians tells us, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Brethren, it's time for us to start teaching our kids what comes next. Where are they supposed to be when they get older? Where are they supposed to be when they get to be older? There's nothing wrong with rewarding them for things that they do well. Because if you reward them for something they do well, what are they going to do better next time? Whatever you ask them it is that you want them to do. Is anybody here today that gets mad if somebody says thank you for something that they've done? No? You appreciate it. You don't mind doing something else for them if they say thank you. And you have some people that does not know, excuse me, what that word means. We also have service events. Things like second language, Good Samaritan bulletin board, and PowerPoint, puppets. Let's talk about those. Second language. What's taught in school here? What languages are taught in school here? Does anybody know? I'm going to guess Spanish is one of them. And there may be two or three more. But does people that speak the Spanish language deserve the right to know the Bible? Sure they do. And if they don't have that opportunity, whose responsibility is it to teach them? It's ours. In Montgomery, where I live, there's three dialects of Spanish. None communicate with the other. And there may be three dialects of Spanish living in one house. And the way they communicate is that the kids in that house know all three dialects plus English. So they're listening and communicating for all of the above. They're the ones that are making it happen for everybody. Okay? So we've got kids now at church that are having taking Spanish lessons at church to help teach some of these kids and adults that don't know or can't understand. Isaiah and his family have Bible studies every afternoon with different families with different dialects of Spanish to try to teach them the Word of God because they have that opportunity. But second language is where you teach somebody the Bible in something other than your native language. 4 years ago, we had a young lady in Memphis that learned Romanian. Her church went to Romania every year on a mission trip, and she wanted to teach a teenage girls' class without a translator. So she learned how to speak Romanian and was able to teach that girls' Bible class. So it's something that we work at. Good Samaritan, where you go the extra mile, where if you have a member at church, you have a storm and a tree blows down and you go get it up. You send them cards, you make phone calls, you take food to people. Going the extra mile, something you're already doing right now. And in our rules book, there's a sheet that you can give each family where they keep up with what all they do. If you go on a mission trip, you automatically get a bronze because of the time that it takes to prepare, the study time that it takes, and also the time that it takes doing what you went to do. Bulletin board. Where's our bulletin boards come from? Let me back up and do it another way. Guys, how many of us have done a bulletin board this year? That's what I thought. Ladies, we need some help. If you go in your classrooms today, almost every one of them has a bulletin board in them. Where does it come from? Our ladies think ahead. And when they're teaching a Bible class, they go through their lessons and they pick out things that they feel like are very important so that their kiddos will remember what they've been in there. Because every time they come in, what do they see? The bulletin board or the door that they do. Every time they leave, what is the last thing they see? The bulletin board or the door that they do. And what is the one thing they remember if they don't remember anything else that was in that class? What was on the bulletin board? Or what was on the door? A small thing that makes a big impression. A small thing that makes a big impression. PowerPoint. Just like you had this morning and what we're using here. A way to enhance somebody's ability to learn. Now you can go overboard with PowerPoint. I've seen some that had things bounce in from the side and bounce around. I was about seasick before it quit. I get motion sickness sometimes. You know, But you see it, and there's so much going on, it takes away from your ability to learn. But you use something that gives them an idea of how to enhance what you're learning. Just like we used this morning during the lesson. Great example during the Bible class of how is a way to use that. I love it now when people put the songs on PowerPoint. As I get older, these bifocals don't work as good as they used to. And when the words are this big compared to this big, it sure is easier for me to see. And as a song leader, I love it when people are looking up and singing instead of looking in their book because you get to hear more. You know, it makes a better sound when everybody's looking up instead of down in a book. And it's not always the possibility to do that, but it also is a tool that we can use to enhance what we do. Puppet theater. Don't promote puppet theater for worship, but there's places that we can use that. Got a lady in Montgomery, Joetta Kelly, that's been working in the inner city for 45, 46 years. She used to go to the neighborhoods that our cops wouldn't go in and pass out brochures. We're going to have a Bible lesson Saturday at 9 a.m. in the basketball pavilion. She'd have three or four mamas and their babies show up. What have I got to do to get more people to come? She took one of her puppet teams from church down that was participating in Last of Leaders on Saturday mornings. She'd say, we're going to do a puppet show and a Bible class. In 2 weeks, she couldn't get all the folks under the basketball pavilion that was coming to this class. She would do a 5-minute puppet show, 25-minute Bible lesson. And on South Ripley Street in Montgomery, Alabama today, because of all the people that was baptized, there's Inner City Church of Christ. Because she was looking and thinking out of the box, she taught a Bible class and used 5 minutes for a puppet show under a basketball pavilion to get mamas and their kids to come out to see what it was all about. There's hospitals where you can go to children's hospitals or other places to use this to get the message across. And you can do those on year-round basis where you do so many in a year, so many bulletin boards in a year. And then we have things we call leadership events. Let's talk about those very quickly. Speech. Why do we want to teach our folks to speak? We want to teach them the proper way to do those things. If you're looking for a preacher, are you going to hire the first guy that walks in the back door that's got a flyer in his pocket that says, I'm a preacher? No. You're going to listen what his beliefs are. You're going to see his ability to present the word. Is he preaching the truth? How's he doing? You want the best that you can get to help the church here grow. Isn't that the goal of everywhere that we go, is to learn and get the best fit so that everybody grows from it and does the best that it can do? So we try to teach our young men to do that. Well, in 1974, the mothers told the elders at Warner Robins, the boys are getting all the attention. Isn't it vitally important that our girls know the same things? Sure, it is. So in 1974, the girls started doing exactly the same thing the boys did. We don't teach them to be speakers, to be preachers. But if you walk through your Bible classes on Sunday morning, how many women are teaching? If they have a ladies' day, who do they want to speak? A lady. If they invited us men to come, it'd be a gospel meeting, wouldn't it? I mean, sincerely, if we were all there, it'd be a gospel meeting. If they have a ladies' day, who do they want to lead singing? Not us. I'm sorry. But it's just, you know, I didn't see an invitation for us to come. So we teach them the proper way to teach a class, the proper way to do those things. And if they know those things, it's a pretty good tool if they find somebody that's doing the things that they've been taught to do, probably got a pretty good prospect for a husband. Or on the other side, a guy may have a pretty good prospect for a wife if they look at those things. Song leading, we want them to teach. Brother Tom Holland put it the best I've ever heard. We want to teach them to sing God's way. What the Bible says, how we should sing. And know why we should sing that way. But teach them, so if somebody's out, it's not hard to find somebody to stand up and do it. My brother has two boys. His youngest, Jesse, loves to lead singing. How do I say this? Jesse can't carry a tune in a bucket with a lid on it. He sings off key, okay? He does. Jesse knows he sings off key. Jesse was in Winter Circle song leading for several years because he was never judged on his ability to carry a tune. We try to teach them the proper way to do those things. Things like announce your number well. You announce it so that if you're in a room, the person sitting up here can hear it, but also the people that's having to sit out here in the back can hear it too. But announce your number well so that they can understand that. Did you maintain your pitch? It didn't say look up in the book and see what the pitch is, but do you maintain the pitch that you started on? Jesse started off key. He finished off key. Okay, he did. He maintained it. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. You know, you didn't have to worry about him hearing and leading the audience because you could have walked out in the backside of the parking lot with the door closed, you'd heard him. I mean, you didn't have to wonder what he was leading. You knew. We teach technical things that make them good song leaders. We teach them technical things that make them good speakers because the talent you have to develop. You can't make somebody a great speaker just that way. It takes time. You can't teach somebody to lead singing just like that. It takes time. So you work on those things that make them do that. Songs of praise the same way. We teach our young ladies to do those things because when they're in Bible class, what are they doing? I give my wife credit today because my son's a song leader. When he was young, I led singing full time and he always sat in her lap. He could sing the best alto of any woman in the church because that's what my wife sang. And when he was little, his voice was at a point he could. He still does. But he listened to his mother, and he learned. Then we spent time together, and we learned. But it's vitally important for our women to know the same things because they also teach our children when they're younger, and they have that opportunity to make an impression. Teach to teach. We talked about that a little bit earlier, where you take somebody under your wing for 3 years. 1 quarter a year for 3 years. And that's where one of your teachers today would take somebody under their wing. The first quarter or the first year, the only thing the person that was with that teacher would do is listen. Sit in a Bible class and see how they teach that Bible class. The second year or the second quarter that they spent together, they would come together and that teacher would show that student how to prepare to teach a Bible class. The proper way to prepare a Bible class. Then when they went into the classroom, she would see their planning implemented as they go through that Bible class. The third year, that student would teach that Bible class, because now they've listened. The third year, they would also help prepare, but then they would teach that Bible class in front of their teacher. After 3 years, what do you have? You got a Bible class teacher, and you don't have to teach till you die. You just got somebody to take your place. But then we continue to do that, and we don't have to worry each quarter who's going to teach those Bible classes. If somebody's sick, we've got somebody that's able and willing to step in. We also have two things called keepers and providers. Keepers for our young women. 14 different things that make them better Christian young women, Christian wives in the future, and Christian mothers, based on Proverbs 31. Now, providers are 14 different things that make our young men, based on 1 Corinthians, that makes them better men to be providers, husbands, and fathers. Now, there's things in keepers that our boys need to know. And there's things in providers that our girls need to know. Okay? So, I fussed with the board about this, and they finally saw what I was talking about. An example being, when my oldest went off to college, we lived in Blue Ridge, Georgia. She was going to Montgomery, Alabama, 4.5 hours away. There were certain things she needed to know how to do. She needed to know how to check her oil in her car. She needed to know how to check her water. Her mama comes home from work. She's a nurse one day, and I'm out in the yard with my daughter, and I'm sitting in a lounge chair, and she's changing a tire on her car. What are you doing? Taylor's learning to change a tire. You've got to be the meanest man in the world. Why would you do that? I said, just hold on. I was prepared for this. The first time in my life, I guess, I've been prepared for something. I handed her a pencil and a piece of paper, and I said, I want you to write down for me who you want her to flag down in Atlanta on a Sunday night when she's going through there to change her tire if she has a flat. She handed it back and said, smart aleck. We walked in the house. Who do I want her to flag down in Atlanta? Nobody. I mean, I broke down in Atlanta on the side of the road at night. I know who stops. You know, I'm just uglier than they are. But it's one of those things where you want her to know how. You don't want her to have to depend on that. The second day she was at school, she's going out to get some groceries. In the front of the school at Faulkner, on Atlanta Highway, a main thoroughfare, there's two boys with a flat tire. You guys need some help? Do you have a jack? I got a jack. No, we've got a jack. Oh, I've got one of these four-way things my dad put in my car. You need one of them? No, we've got a lug wrench. Wait, don't have a spare? Yeah. We don't know how to change a tire. My daughter, being the young lady that she is, pulls up in front of them, gets out of her car, comes back and jacks their car up, and proceeds to change their tire. Of course, now all of their buddies are driving by. Woo, look at you, letting that girl change your tire. They didn't forget that lesson. My son wanted to know how to wash his clothes. Oh, yeah, you need to know how to do that, son. And, Dad, if the cafeteria's not good, I may need something I need to know how to cook a little bit. You know, so there's things in both that our girls and guys need to know how to do. So the girls can do two keepers events and one provider event a year. The boys can do two providers and one keeper event per year. Another thing my son would know is how to sew buttons on. He was bad about pulling buttons off of his shirt and iron. He still hadn't mastered that one yet, but that's okay. We're still working on, you know, it's a work in progress. You can do year-round speech. Where do you do year-round events? Where do we talk about that? Right here at home. Where they speak so many times in a year. It's easier for our guys to do that because they can go to Bible classes and all that kind of stuff and do that. It's a little harder for our girls, but think about it with me. Now remember, I'm from Alabama and I'm slower than most folks. I have to make it where I can understand it. The average speech lasts 6 minutes. All right, so they're going to have to do 12. Isn't that 72? Is that right? Okay. 72 minutes a year. Have you got 72 minutes a year, ladies, to sit and listen to one of your girls do year-round speech? There's opportunities. Guys, can we take 72 minutes a year and listen to boys? Now, they have other opportunities, Bible camp and other things, you know, to do that. Year-round song leading, where do they do that? Year-round songs of praise. Every song lasts 4 minutes. 4 times 12,
48?
Okay. 48 minutes a year for them to do year-round song leading. Do we have 48 minutes a year for one of our young people to do that? Or if you get them all together, one church over in Mercedes Drive over near Tuscaloosa, on Wednesday night they come in, and after their devotional service, the guys will go to the fellowship hall, the girls will stay in the auditorium 1 week, and every kid that wants to participate in year-round song leading, they lead a song before they go home. And one guy built a podium to match the podium they had up here, and if they're in the auditorium, they get to roll that little podium out and use it. So, of course, every one of them wants to be in the auditorium every Wednesday night. They only have about 26 or 7 kids participating in that. But that's the way they choose to do that. Because what gets rewarded gets repeated. We also have curriculum, if that's something that you are in need of. We have books called Junior Leader Series. There's two, about to have three, that is a school year study for kindergartners through fifth grade. It's got everything in it you need to teach that class. It's got all of the projects and things that you would want to do in those books already. And I have some after this is over. If y'all want to look at them, be honored if you to see them. We have a book for our girls that are sixth grade and up. It's called Gifts, Girls in Fellowship and Team Study. Anybody that's younger than that, some of the subjects in here get a little deep for them. It talks about how they should dress. Is that important in our society today? If you don't believe it is, get out and go to the nearest mall. You really won't have to go that far, but if you go that far, at least you can sit down before you pass out from what all you might see. You know, it talks about things from a senior in high school's perspective on how they should talk. Is that important today? It's things that are important through the eyes of a senior in high school that our young Christian women ought to know. Hannah Colley wrote that book as a senior in high school. Her brother Caleb wrote Guys Understanding Authority and Real Discipleship that deals with some of the same things, but he talks to our young men through the eyes of a senior in high school of what it means to be a disciple in Christ. How should we, as young men, treat young women? For a dad, for me, that's very important. I got two daughters. When my son turned 16, he decided that he wanted to ask this little girl out that went to another church there in town. I said, I think that's a great idea, son. Good, I'm going to text her and ask her out. And I said, I'll break all 8 fingers and both thumbs. What are you talking about? I said, you got an old Jeep out there. You go get in it. And you drive over to her house and you knock on the door. And her daddy's over there. He's at home on Saturdays. And you ask him, can you ask her out? What are you talking about? I said, if you gonna do it, that's the only way it's going to happen. This is a tyranny in this house. This is not a democracy, son. So you can do it however you, if you want to do it, get in a car. He stomps out to his Jeep, goes over there, gone about 35, 40 minutes, which was about normal for what it would take to get there. Come back stomping through the house. I thought the foundation was going to break. He said, Dad, how'd it go? He said, okay. But you have to understand in our society today, and he took his phone out of his pocket, it's all right to use this to do that. I said, you have to understand in our society today, you live in my house. And you're under my rules. And that phone can be cut off. You do it the right way. It's important that we teach our young men to do it the right way. It's important that we teach our young women to do it the right way. It didn't stunt his growth. He's all right. He wasn't scarred for life because of it. But he understands. Another book that we have is called Pearl Study. Each year we have a 13-chapter study on the books in which our Bible Bowl is taken from. And our goal with this is to give them a kickoff. And it's something the whole church can study. So that when you're on the ride home, you know exactly what they've studied. If you use it, they use it. You can do it at home, however you choose to do that. But it's written normally by 13 different authors. Last year was an oddity. Apologetics Press wrote the whole book because on the books of Esther, Job, and Ruth, they had just done a complete study on that, so they had it ready, and so we used what they had. We have a book called Field Book of Leadership. For me, this is what I call a how-to book. There's chapters in that book on how to be a disciple, how to lead singing, how to teach a Bible class. There's one in there on how to pray. When is the last time you remember sitting in a class where we learn how to pray? This book was designed for small churches that are not involved in anything but they're struggling. And they need something to know about scriptural worship. Brother Terry Broom outlined this book 20 years ago. About 5 years ago, he handed it to us and said, I can't complete it. He had it all outlined in 2 chapters finished. So we took it in the next year and a half and finished it. But it's just a how-to book. It's something that can be used. We have another book called Headed to the Office, written by Brother Glenn Colley. This is a book that is designed for our men and young men to read and study, and it can be a one-month study. It might be a quarter study. It could be a year. How to prepare your lives as men to be elders and deacons in the Lord's church. We know that it's not like flipping on a light switch. It just happens. But it takes preparation. I love it when the young ladies set in on that because, again, if they look and listen to these things and they find somebody with the qualities that this is talking about, they may have prospect for a husband. So it's one of those things they can learn together. That's what the field book looks like. Brenda says we're about to redo the cover, and I don't know what is in her mind right now as far as that goes, so I can't show you. That's Junior Leader 1. Gift and Guard book. That's this past year's Pearls, this year's Pearls book, Faith is Victory on 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Everything that you want to know about the events that we've talked about today is online at our website. It's free to download under the official event rule book. And if you look at that, it gives you our goals that we want to accomplish with each of these events. Also, keep in mind that when you read this, you have to make it fit your church. It may be something that you have to do a little different to make it work. So you have to be able to adjust those things to make it. Our goal with this is that whenever you print this off and you say, all right, we're going to do song leading, I want you to head that up, that we can print that off and give it to you. You see what I'm saying? Then, oh, we're going to do Bible Bowl, and we print that off and we give that session to you. And you always have that so that you choose those things and can use them, and you know what that is. Convention raises the bar and inspires higher achievements. It helps our churches to bond because they're studying together. They're growing together. And I still believe my grandmother had a little plaque hanging on her wall in her house that said, a family that prays together stays together. My mama's got it today. And when she passes on, it's going on my wall. I hadn't told my brother that yet, but it is going on my wall because I strongly believe that. But when we work together as a family, we grow as a church. So it's vitally important. There's things like art, photography, scrapbook, posters in the art section. You know, to get somebody involved, sometimes you have to have a way to get them started. And that may be something that you have to use to do that. These young men are going to do something. It could be getting into trouble, but most likely they're going to participate into something. I believe these guys were from Orlando. Again, we want to teach them how to speak. Bible Bowl. We do that a little different. You can have a Bible Bowl team. You can do it by age group, or you can do it however you have to do it to make it work. Kindergarten through sixth grade, if you participate in convention and Bible Bowl, answers 40 questions. 7 through 12 answers 60. They're sitting in chairs like 1, 2, 3, 4. Then you would be in a chair turned around facing them. The questions are read twice publicly in their own PowerPoint. And they have A, B, C, and D in their hand. They have 10 seconds to hold up A, B, C, or D, and then you would record that answer. At the bottom, it's got how many, what the correct answer is, and you just write down 2, 3, 4, whatever the amount was for that letter that they raised up. Whoever answers the most questions at the end of that time frame wins the Bible Bowl competition. Now, there's always ties, so there's questions in there to answer them, ask them 3 at a time to see who might do that. Now, let me back up one time. All right, we don't have enough kids to have a 7th grade class and Bible Bowl team. That's fine. A kindergartner, 2nd grader, 9th grader, and a 12th grader can all be on the same team. Now, if they are, they all answer 60 questions. Well, that's not fair. You're right, because the kindergartner and 2nd grader is going to answer more questions correctly than the 9th and the 12th grader are, because they soak it up, okay? But they participate on the level of the highest participant. But you can divide that up however you need to do that to make it work. Okay? And you can teach that. I've seen it done on Sunday afternoon. I've seen it done on Wednesday night. I saw one guy walk in church one night with a 33-gallon trash bag of something. And I followed him. I was curious. He got into the fellowship hall and there was tables set up and there was brown paper bags at every chair. Okay. They were studying Bible bowl questions, and for everybody that answered a question correctly and they had to raise their hand first, got a piece of candy. I thought, this is a disaster, because in my mind I'm thinking, if he threw me a piece of candy, I'm going to eat it. You know, If you answered it, you put it on your sack. The end of the night, they all sacked it up and went upside. Look how many Bible questions I answered tonight, Mama. I'm sure there was some eating went on between home and church and home. But that was one way that they had. That church had two Bible Bowl teams. They only had 10 kids. There was like 18 in that fellowship hall. I said, where's these kids? Local high school. They found out from their buddies what they was doing, so they wanted to come study the Bible and see how many questions they could answer. They had kids from a local high school coming with their friends to study the Bible to see how many that they could answer. Our debate topic, we have debate. If you want your kiddos as they get older to be well prepared on a subject, let them get involved in debate. When my son was 16, he's 20. I think he's 25 now. He wanted to be in debate for the first time, and we'd moved from North Georgia back to Montgomery, and I said, okay, son, that's fine. But you're going to have to study, because somebody's going to wipe the floor with you over there if you don't study. You know how a 16-year-old boy, Daddy, ain't nobody wiping the floor with me. I said, uh-huh, you just keep believing that. And I would have to say he studied the hardest that I've ever seen him study. He and his partner won first place in debate that year. And that was fine. But he's 25 today, and the topic was a marriage between man and a woman. He can start today and start in Genesis chapter 22, and he'll go through the Bible and tell you why God said a man and a woman should marry. And it doesn't start with my daddy said or my mama said or my elder said. It starts with God said. That was what I was after. But it helps you to prepare. We have a special event called Bartimaeus for special needs individuals. They can start at any age and go to any age. The first question that we're normally asked is, can a special needs participant participate in regular speech song? Yes, they can participate in anything mom and daddy wants them to participate in. Some need a place to start. And Bartimaeus is that. And if you go to convention, I beg you to go to Bartimaeus. The young ladies are usually first, and then the men will participate so the mothers can come in there for their young boys too. Take a Kleenex, a towel, or something, because you're going to cry. I don't care how hard you are, you're going to cry. But they may get up and say that they want to lead a song, and it may be All Jesus Loves Me. Or they may want to read the Bible, and the only thing they can read is Jesus Wept, and that's like you and I reading Genesis chapter 1. The point is they're trying. They may want to say a speech, and it's 1 minute, or it may be 30 seconds. But you watch the progression of these kids, and you see where they start to grow, and you see the opportunity. But they all deserve that opportunity. So it's important that we do that. Again, a church family event. I've covered a lot of material today. Is there any questions that comes to your mind? And I'm going to leave some cards here. I've got them in a pocket. You can call me, email me, however you need to do that. If there's questions that come up, and if I can't answer it, I'll find somebody who can. But is there any questions that comes up into your mind of something that I might have said? If you participate in convention, we have, I said 8 this morning, and that's correct. We actually have 11. We have Romania, Philippines, and Guyana. It also has a convention each year. But you can go to any or whichever one you want to go to. You can change each year. That's up to you. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it's a long way from here to California. That just is not an option for this fat boy right here. But you're welcome to participate in any site that you want to participate in. And I'm geographically challenged. What city? We have Orlando, Florida, Atlanta, Georgia, Memphis, Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee, Louisville, Kentucky, and Visalia, California. And which one is, are we geographically close to anything? Because I don't know. 8 hours from Nashville. How far are you from Atlanta? 6. So you're about this far from Orlando then. You're a long way from over there. And you about that much further to Memphis. It's about 2.5 hours from Memphis to Nashville. And I would say that it'd be you on this side and they on that side. I'd say it'd be a fur piece either way. But that would be something that you would consider. So whatever y'all decided to do would be whatever you wanted to do. If you go to our website and look under locations and you choose one side, it will have the cost there of what the rooms are. There's a $40 registration fee for everybody that participates, and that helps to pay for the rent of the place, the hotel, the trophies for the meeting rooms that we have to get and all that. But for the liability policy that we have to have on everybody that participates. But we've only had the hotel cost to change one time that I know of from what we published last year in Atlanta. The city imposed a tax after all of that was published, and it was like $3 more. But it was a city-imposed tax that the hotel couldn't get out of, and we couldn't get out of it either. I mean, it was something they imposed, so it had to be paid. But it's pretty much close to what we need to do. I recommend that you choose a group leader. That would be a person that would be over the whole thing, and then you would then choose individuals that would help to run whatever events you decided to participate in. And registration starts in December. It has to be completed. It will close in late January. So, you know, you look at those things and you decide what you might want to participate in, or you may want to take a group down to observe and see and go to the different events that you might want to participate in to see what all goes on and see how those things are done. It'd be whatever you decide is best for this church. But it would be something that your kids will grow from, but I promise you your parents will grow from it more once you get started because of the things that you have to do to make sure they do what they're supposed to do. So it's vitally important. One person can't do it. It's a church program. It takes everybody to get this done. Okay? It's not something that one or two people are going to do. They might, but it'd be about graveyard dead before the end of the year. Two to three things. Yeah. Yeah. And then wait a year and add something else. And because there's going to be some individual things some of these kiddos want to do on their own. And that's fine. That's up to mom and daddy. You know. Now, the group leader needs to know so they, when it comes to registration time, they can make sure that they have entered them in that particular thing. But I would recommend two or three things, and y'all would get together and discuss that. Some of the easiest things to do would be things like song leading and speech. And you can do Bible Bowl. You're just going to have to study pretty hard between now and that time. But there's a lot of churches don't even start studying Bible Bowl until January. So, you know, there's 1,000 or so study questions that you can get if you call the office that they can email to you or send to you that helps in that preparation. You know, if that's something that you want to do. But yeah, I would recommend choosing two or three things to start with and then add as you go through. Because there'll be other things you would see. And another thing about starting with one or two things is then you can, as a group, say, okay, we were interested in this. All right, you two families are going to see this event. You two families are going to see this event. Then we come back and talk about those things. You know, as you see it and see how it, and get ideas on how you see your church benefiting. And how you would use that, you know, to grow from that. Are there other questions that I might could answer? Such an honor and privilege for me to have been here. Thank you for the opportunity to come. I'm as close as a telephone. Take me a little longer by car to get here, but you can call me, and I'll come anytime I need to come. That's not a problem. That's what I do. You know, it's easy. I did leave cards here, so each of you can be welcome to get that and use it. Any other questions? If you want to see the books and materials, I'll be glad to get them. They're right here. I'll get out whatever you want to see and let you touch them and feel them and go from there. Anything else?
That's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
It's an honor.